Have you ever felt passionate about a particular ministry in your church, but maybe felt a bit unprepared to serve or lead? Today, we're going to talk about how to both grow as a leader as well as equip servant leaders in the local church, right here, right now, only on the Five Gifts Podcast.
Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we are passionate about the local Spirit-filled church and seeing it equipped to fulfill the Great Commission. Join us for conversations that discuss practical theology, spiritual formation, and dynamics for growing as servant leaders in the charismatic Pentecostal church. We want to move past theological echo chambers and see the fullest expression of Christ's character, gifts, and ministries fill churches, towns, and cities. So connect, log on, subscribe, and share your comments and questions. This is the Five Gifts Podcast. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. We're so glad to have you with us for our fourth episode. Charles, what's your impression of our podcast so far?
Well, I don't know if anybody else likes it, but I'm having a blast. It's been great. I've really enjoyed it. You know, I tell you, your wisdom and your insights that you're bringing out have really added a richness to our conversation, to our dialogue that we're having. What I've discovered about myself is I have the face for radio and the voice for hee-haw. So probably the most important thing I can say about our podcast or our tens of viewers and listeners is keep listening to Bruce and please, please, please pray for me. So, but it's been great. I'm really enjoying it.
Charles, your humility humbles me.
Yeah.
No, it's I've really enjoyed this. I've enjoyed the back and forth. I really, of course, you know, we wouldn't be here were it not for the topic of the five gifts that Christ gave to the church and how we understand that. And so I'm just excited to keep going. And hopefully we'll pick up, you know, listeners and who knows. Sponsors might be in our future.
Well, hey, I think they're coming, and worldwide viewership is on the way.
Yeah, well, today actually we're pleased to announce the grand opening of our merch store coming soon. You'll see some cool clothing with the coveted Five Gifts Podcast logo, as well as some very practical items, especially for the charismatic Pentecostal and the curious but cautious congregations. Today, we actually want to feature our Five Gifts Podcast tambourine. We told you this was coming. It features a genuine faux wood polymer shell, 16 sets of metal alloy jingly thingies, and an authentic Naugahyde head embossed with the Five Gifts Podcast logo. These beauties are going to be in stock real soon, and they are must-haves for worship and altar services. And Charles, I know this for a fact. They are especially popular with lead pastors and worship leaders.
Hey, you better believe it. You better get one today. They're going to fly off the shelves. In fact, I took my official Five Gifts Podcast tambourine to worship yesterday. And let me tell you, I was the envy of all of our congregants. So I'm telling you, get in on the ground level. It's going to be a hot item.
I can imagine the stunned looks. I can imagine them right now.
Yeah.
Just looking on with envy.
It was a great feeling, let me tell you. Well, hey, last week we began our journey on the Leadership Railroad by focusing on the foundation of spiritual formation. Today we're going to discover how to facilitate leadership development by utilizing the tracks of new knowledge and new experiences. So, Bruce, why do you think new knowledge is so important in the process of leadership development?
Well, obviously, gaining new knowledge has value in anything, learning new things. And so I've always wanted to cultivate a curious attitude, both in myself, but also encourage people to always be ready to grow. And new knowledge is clearly one of those components that is just essential for leadership growth. And of course, one of the rails in the railroad model of leadership that we've been talking about for our second week now is the gaining of new information, new knowledge. Obviously, the base foundation of the model is spiritual formation, which we discussed in our last episode. But all of one's growth as a leader not only depends on spiritual formation, but the rails that are essential for advancing in servant leadership. So new knowledge increases proficiency, and that's one of those vital rails. And so growing your base of knowledge really is vital. Now, pastoral ministry in the 21st century, and I would say anyone's growth in the local church because of the demands of our culture, they demand a cross-discipline background. Old Testament, New Testament studies, theology and doctrine, practical ministry skills like preaching, counseling, discipleship, spiritual formation, leading people in spiritual formation, leading sacramental observances, apologetics, evangelism. Those are some of the traditional forms of pastoral leadership in the local church, and bringing along a team of people and developing servant leaders in the church. Traditionally, those have been some of the more obvious skills needed for that. But again, the 21st century, the demands of the culture require pastors to have a much broader skill set. And so, we're talking, pastors don't just need to know how to preach or lead communion or conduct a wedding. They need to have some understanding of finances, resource management, decision making, polity. Man, polity. I can imagine, being a young, because I've been there, the young pastor that's having to lead board meetings and chair the annual business meetings with the church. So polity is huge. Business, law, especially in a litigious culture, understanding law and history, philosophy, and I personally think apologetics, not just straight apologetics, where you're seeking out debate with people, but definitely evangelistic conversations today. There needs to be a sense of, understanding of apologetics. And even in preaching, I think pastors do themselves a service when they're prepared, both intellectually, spiritually, to defend what we believe. So there are
Yeah.
practical skills. Yeah, those are some of them.
Okay. And all of them are needed. And so we look at a list like this, and it can be a bit overwhelming to think, wow, I have to know all of this before I can begin to pastor or begin to lead. And so are we talking about gathering and acquiring all this knowledge before I can do anything? Or is this more of a lifetime process and a continual learning that we're talking about?
Well, Charles, if you're like me, you knew everything from the beginning and you never had to crack up. I'm kidding.
I'm not
I'm
like you.
kidding. No, when I started pastoral ministry, I had my dream of preaching and teaching and leading dynamic worship services. And but man, the demands of having of not just what's thrust upon you from your church portfolio and but what's demanded in the culture, you just have to be proficient in a lot of things. So no, you can't know everything ahead of time. And if you take a teachable spirit into that servant leadership role of pastoring or any other position in the local church, you come with a learning, a teachable attitude, and that's vital.
Yeah. I think that's critical. You're talking about having a teachable spirit, and that's hard to do, especially when you're, in my case, fresh out of college, and you know everything. There is no more knowledge to be acquired. I learned it all in Bible college, Bible school. But man, you learn quickly that there's a as grateful and as thankful as I am for a college education, and even in seminary, there's a world, there's a lifetime of learning ahead of us as we develop and progress in the ministry.
Sure. And, I mean, we've talked so much about the relational the relational component
Mm
of being a leader, especially an apostolic leader. And that just comes with a need to know how to recruit and build a team and not just recognize the gifts in a person's life, but training and mentoring and helping them develop those gifts. So those are skills. Staff, board, departmental meetings. Man, the one thing that'll kill your meeting is not knowing how to lead it. And so learning, I've leaned so much over the years into Patrick Lencioni's teaching on how to lead meetings. And that was a skill I had to learn, 12, 13 years into pastoral ministry. People skills. But people, I have stories about how poorly people how poor my people skills were. In fact, I remember getting John Maxwell's book. It's under a different title now, but then it was called Simply Becoming a People Person. And I thought, man, I need to devour that book. In fact, not only did I read the book, but I asked a good friend of mine who just is a phenomenal people person. He just has the capacity to connect with people, different backgrounds, and he was a prison chaplain. And I asked him to mentor me, and I said, just let me sit with you, and just watch how you do it. And in fact, I bought him a copy of the book, and we both went through it together. That was a huge learning opportunity for me. So people skills, learning how to delegate. Man, I'm still learning how to delegate. And then you think initiating and leading capital campaigns, the fundraising that's involved, pastors, spiritual leaders in the local church. There's just such a broad base of information. They really need to learn and identify those sources where they can learn.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, the question is, where does the leader increase their base of knowledge? And I'm a big fan of formal leading, but I'm just as big a fan of informal leading. And so on the railroad model, we look at that track of gaining new knowledge in by identifying those formal and informal ways. And some of those are going to be individual tracks, and some are going to be group learning environments. Those formal learning could include educational tracks, seminars, conferences. Those are some things that come to my mind. But Charles, what are some other kinds of formal learning you can think of?
I think in our day and age, we tend to think about pastors or leaders kind of being generalists, having a large area of influence, large scope of leadership responsibility. And so we think about why I've got to become a kind of a jack of all trades. But I think there's room, especially in our culture today, for specialists. So finding an area of the church that you're truly passionate about and becoming a specialist in that area. It may be kids ministry, youth ministry. It could be assimilation, how to connect people outside of the church into the life of the church. I mean, it could be any number of areas, evangelism. And we could go on for the rest of the episode talking about different specialties, but finding a track of learning that helps you to specialize on a certain sect of church life. And maybe even finding some certification, becoming certified in some of those areas. Also, I think a powerful formal way of learning is just in scheduling, or would be like scheduled mentoring or coaching appointments. Could be a call, it could be a lunch meeting, but just however you're able to set that up. Find someone, seek out some people who are presently doing it at the level, who are leading at the level that you want to get to. and call them up, text them, message them, whatever, however you need to communicate with them and say, hey, look, do you have time in your schedule that we can meet? And they may say, hey, I've got 10 minutes that I can give you, and say, well, that's great. I'll take what I can get. Can and then I would put maybe a boundary on the length of time. For the next 2 months, could I have 10 minutes a week? And I just want to ask one question each time, and in this particular area, or the general scope of church leadership, and just have those appointment times scheduled, so that it's on the calendar, it's expected, and treat those and honor those, value those appointments, cherish those times, and make sure that you show up for them prepared and ready. Might even text the mentor the day before, a few days before, the question or the set of questions that you want to ask. Give them a chance to prepare. But I think a mark of a great leader is the desire to want to raise up other leaders. And so I think if you reach out to people who are leading well and who have a leader's heart, I think they'll be open to say, yeah, I'd be honored to help. And now, of course, again, we've got to honor their schedule and their commitments. But if we're willing and wanting to learn, then there's a way to get onto someone's calendar or into their schedule, if we go about those things in the right way. So, and
Charles,
it, it is it's just a great way to learn.
you're absolutely right. The thing that I have on my mind right now, because we've talked about formal learning and informal learning, and I think it's important to differentiate the two, but how would you differentiate? What's the difference between formal learning and informal learning?
So we talked about having these scheduled meetings, and say you do it on a phone call. Say it's just a 10-minute call each week. So I think formalizing that is scheduling it. There's structure to it. There's a systematic approach to the learning environment. So I think an informal approach to the same kind of learning is I would say, okay, I encounter an issue, and I but hey, I've got a friend who just dealt with this a few months ago. I remember them talking to me about it, so I'm just going
That's
to pick
good.
up the phone and call someone. And so I've got both. I've had both of those, this instance of kind of being mentored. I've had the scheduled appointments, the scheduled formalized mentoring, where I knew Monday mornings at 10 a.m. I'm making a phone call. I've had that, but then I have a group of friends who are leaders, and I know that at any time, if I encounter an issue, I can just pick up the phone and I can have a short conversation and get some great counsel and great advice. So.
When I think of formal learning, the word intent being intentional comes to mind. Informal, maybe more of your own pace, your own willingness to observe, and to you can have formal mentoring, you can have informal mentoring. I know some of the greatest lessons I've learned have just been watching people. They didn't even know they were my mentor, but they were. They were informing my life by their counsel and their wisdom, and just some things
Absolutely.
I could observe from their life.
Yeah, I've got some great mentors in my life. I've never met them, never met them face to face, but through their books, through their writing, they have influenced and shaped my life immensely. So it doesn't have to be. You can be mentored, you can be shaped, you can learn from people, and have never met them before.
So if
And
we were extent
just one. I'm sorry. One of the thought about kind of the informal learning is with with the explosion of social media around us,
Oh,
I
yeah.
I think there's an opportunity for some informal learning there as well. Just on social media, we can pose a question and ask for people's responses. And I mean, we've got to be careful there, but there's no shortage of opinions
No.
and answers on social media. So we've got to be able to, the old adage, chew the meat and spit out the bones. You got to be able to filter
Sure.
through what people say. But I think that's an avenue where people are willing to give their answers, to give advice, and it
Yeah.
could be a good source of just informal learning.
Yeah. You mentioned the informal learning that comes from reading someone's books and how that person, de facto becomes a mentor. T, I remember, starting off as a youth pastor, and my senior pastor was very intentional about pouring into my life, and it was a that was a valuable relationship. Anyway, we would sit every Monday morning and listen to a John Maxwell tape, and one thing I remember from my first introduction to John Maxwell was his learning through reading. And he talked about, reading books and highlighting passages, and then giving the book to his admin and getting having those notes typed up into documents, and he would save those. He still uses a lot of that material. That's informed a lot of his ministry and teaching other leaders over the years, just gleaning from reading books. One thing that I have come to love, and I think the reason is because it's a deeper dive, is beyond a textbook, and that's or any book, but journal articles. There's something about reading journal articles where someone's really diving really intensely into a subject, and they're passionate about it, and they're referencing and looking at other sources and going back and forth, and the dialogue between what they agree with, what they don't agree with. And to me, that's an area of learning that I didn't really appreciate until the last 6, 7 years of my life. And you mentioned training specific videos. I think those are available on YouTube. I'm not saying just go look for anything, but they're solid resources available just at the click of a button if you're looking for them. So Charles, can you think of any other informal learning opportunities? I can think of a few, but what about you? What can you think of?
Well, again, just we talked about the social media aspect and YouTube, calling a friend. Again, that's a just an informal method. Again, that I just want to highlight again is just within your networks of friends and acquaintances, who is it that you have a relationship with? You can just pick up the phone, you can send a text to. It's a quick way, but it's a very effective way to just informally begin to learn in the church that you serve, in the ministry where you serve. Who are the people that are leading in the community, in the corporate world, in who are the parents that are leading their families well in the church? I think just some informal conversations, some lunches, can generate tremendous informal learning for us if we'll just kind of initiate the ask. If we'll go first, I think people are willing and want to be able to share their victories and successes with us. So.
Again, blurring the line between what's informal and formal. I would say mastermind groups, round tables with other ministers, other leaders in the church, those are great ways, not just to learn a specific topic, but the banter back and forth, the discussion, the insights that come through that dynamic of being with a team of people or a group. I think those are vital environments for growing as a leader. So, Charles, that's the first rail, gaining new knowledge and information. But before we move on to the other rail of leadership development in this episode, why don't you tell us about our sponsor this week?
Yeah, man, I'm proud to share. We've got our first sponsor for the Five Gifts podcast. So I want to say a huge thank you to our sponsor. Today's episode is brought to you by tap water. That's right. Whether from the faucet or the garden hose, tap water will fill your cup and quench your thirst. So skip the bottle and go straight to the source. Tap water. It tastes like chemicals. Go ahead and try some today. Thanks a lot, tap water.
Tap water must be the most recognizable brand in the world. You can find
Yeah.
it in any country, any nation.
It's
It may
everywhere
not
you go.
be healthy, but it's available.
what a great tagline. It may not be healthy, but it's available.
Sounds like some churches. They may not be healthy, but they're available, right?
Yeah, that's right. We better be careful. We better tread lightly on
Yeah, we
that
might lose one or two of our viewers.
one. Yeah, we can't
That
afford
would
to
end
do that. It'd
the
be over. We'd just be talking to each other.
We got to really watch out for these humor segments.
Yeah.
All right, so getting back on topic, Charles, of course, we don't increase our knowledge just to simply know things. That's only one of the rails of leadership growth, but what is the other rail in leadership development?
Well, the second rail, and again, it runs parallel to new knowledge, would be new experience, new ministry, new. And so, as we talk about this new in ministry experience, we're focusing on the development of skills, or the doing of ministry. Again, whether you're a pastor, lead pastor, a staff pastor, a ministry director, small group leader, I mean, wherever you find yourself serving, we all should be traveling on this second track of new experience, of new ministry. This is the place where the leader's gifts, callings, characteristics, their traits, their personality, passions, natural talents. I mean, this is the place where all of those things are developed, is in the on the track of new experience or new ministry. You know, one reason I believe that ministry training has been ineffective in the past is that a lot of times, or oftentimes, the curriculum is high on it highly values the new knowledge, but where it lacks is new experience, spiritual formation, and the relationship of coaching and reflection. With a mentor. And that's a huge hole that we can't afford to overlook anymore. Yes, we have to have the track of new knowledge. That's critical. But we talked last week about the bedrock of spiritual formation. We've established the track of new knowledge. And we've also have to have this second track of new ministry experience, because that's where those skills really begin to come alive and be developed. We've heard it said before that if a pianist cannot be trained without a piano, and a chef cannot be trained without a kitchen, and a doctor can't be trained without a hospital, then how can a minister be trained without a church? And so, as we're talking about the five gifts, in Ephesians, and how those were gifts that Christ gave to form his church, then we have to, in the church, we have to provide training that provides new knowledge, but also provides opportunity for new ministry experience. Because if it creates a mindset that can be very troublesome in the local church. So pre-ministry students or pre-ministry believers, people that maybe have biblical and theological training, but really little to no actual ministerial practice, can build unrealistic ideas and expectations about the ministry. And so I know both of us have stories. Every person who's in ministry, I'm sure, has accounts of coming out of college and entering in the ministry, or coming out of their educational environment, entering into ministry, and having a head filled with knowledge, but just not much practical experience, and just being met with the reality of the situation that wow, I'm not prepared, and the expectation that I've had in my mind is not coming to pass. It's because in the absence of experience, in the absence of practical hands-on, just getting things done, if that's not there, we can develop these false expectations, a wrong perspective, and a wrong mindset of what ministry is. Even not talking about even those who are maybe just leading a small group, or leading a ministry within the church, who haven't had Bible college or formal Bible training like that, just entering in positions, not having any experience. They've studied different systems or studied different ministries, can bring to the leadership environment some false ideas and perspectives, because it's all we have is knowledge, and we don't have the experience, the how-tos of how this thing really works. And so yes, we have to have the knowledge, but we have to also have experience and ministry experience, and those rails need that they're going to run parallel, but they need to stay tight. They need to stay close. So we want to keep the knowledge close to the ministry experience as possible.
Yeah,
And
Charles, you brought up something when it comes to the false expectations that arise when knowledge kind of outweighs the practical experience. And what it made me think of was that false expectations in ministry can really wreck you, and it can be discouraging. It's kind of like you don't know that you don't know. That there are dynamics at play in ministry settings because they're interpersonal, they're interdisciplinary, and so when you don't know how to lead something specific, and you're just drawing on a base of knowledge, you really lack the acumen of a learning to integrate that information and those know whats into know hows. And I think that's vital. And I think that probably gives rise to not only some frustration, but when you lack experience, I think you're lacking those avenues to really discover your passion. And
Yeah,
so
certainly.
keep going.
No, well, we're talking about the idea of keeping knowledge and experience close. I can remember back when I was in Bible school, Bible college at Southeastern College. Now it's Southeastern University, but one of the greatest experiences that I had at Southeastern, and again, I'm thankful for the degree, and I'm thankful for the knowledge, for the classes, all my professors. Man, I couldn't have asked for a better education and a knowledge a time of acquiring new knowledge. But one of the greatest things that I experienced in that 4-year journey was being a part of the preaching team, and so I knew about the preaching team, and I had a couple of friends that were at Southeastern before me, and they talked about being on it, and I always thought that's something I'd like to do. And so when I had kind of met the qualifications and taken some of the preaching classes that you had to have, and I was able to apply to be on the preaching team, I made that, and we began this journey of putting acquired knowledge into practice. And so the way we did that was there's a number of retirement communities. This was in Central Florida, so a lot of what they called snowbirds would come down in the wintertime from up north and would live in these retirement communities, and they had churches that they had formed up. And so we would go to five, six, seven of these communities. We would rotate. Our team would we would rotate through these retirement communities and preach for them on Sunday. We would act as their pastor that Sunday morning. So it was more than just preaching. We would conduct the service, and it was just a great experience of leading a service, leading the church through worship, preaching sermons, developing those people skills like you talked about earlier, of just and I grew up in a pastor's home, and so I always felt like I had an edge on. I falsely thought that I had an edge, but because you quickly learn when you dive into the deep water and begin to put knowledge into practice, you learn, and you learn how to adjust. You learn how to navigate, and navigate change, and learn how to navigate these adjustments that take place. And so it was a phenomenal experience for me to be on the preaching team, and again, probably some of the best learning that took place for me was learning and navigating the changes, the adjustments, going in with a set of expectations, and then realizing, no, this isn't how it is or how it's going to be. I have to adjust. And it was just a phenomenal experience that helped my preaching develop, helped my personal skills develop, helped my pastoral skills to develop. And so just an example of keeping the experience and the new knowledge tight, and letting those two tracks run together in parallel.
So when you think about just your experience in ministry, and we're operating the last two podcasts on this specific model, new information and new experiences. Charles, over the last, well, let's just say over ever since you began, you got out of college and started in full-time ministry. What did you learn about yourself? Your passion, your area of specialty, your area of giftedness, what did you begin to discover were maybe the more important ones to you, just from those experiences of gaining new information and getting those experiences?
Well, I remember just fresh out of college, hired as a youth pastor. Just and thinking, I had the world by the tail, but immediately also being humbled that man, I've got some growing to do. I didn't have this model, or I wasn't aware of this railroad model back then, and so what a great resource that would have been. But just intuitively beginning to discover, all right, I've got to learn. I still got some learning I've got to do. I've got to get the experience, and so through the learning, through the experience, what I began to discover is that I'm really passionate. The skills that began to emerge in my life, the talents, the passions, were one of building teams. That's just been a trait and a characteristic of my ministries. Every position, every church we've led, we've always built teams. And so I've just had an intuitive understanding that if we're going to do what Jesus has asked us to do in this place, we're going to have to bring a team with us to accomplish this. And so we've always built teams. Another element has been strategic thinking, and building systems using strategic plans, that has always just kind of bubbled up to the top, if you will, in my leadership. And so being strategic, building teams, and then stirring spiritual life in people, being an agitator. I like that word. But being an agitator in the lives of other people in regards to spiritual formation, spiritual release in our lives. And so we would say those prophetic gifts that would stir up spiritual hunger and thirst. Those have been areas of passion, areas of growth, but just natural talents, natural proclivities, in those areas. And those have come as I've learned, but they've really been refined and become prominent in the experience, in the doing of ministry.
I think for me, there was a shift when, because I know coming out of school and then getting into youth pastoring, I probably entertained that I would be a lifer for youth ministry. I was passionate for it at the time. My first place in youth ministry, in a full-time setting, didn't go very well, but the second one just the roof, the roof came off. It was so exciting. And I thought I was a lifer. At least in my, the years before my prefrontal cortex had become fully developed. And but what changed for me was actual growing under a lead pastor who wanted to help me grow, and so he gave me preaching opportunities. He suddenly he transformed me into a worship leader. He gave me discipleship opportunities with adults, and really I think through those experiences, eventually came to really begin to think about being a lead pastor. And even after becoming a lead pastor, and if I could go back to my 25-year-old self, maybe my 30-year-old self, I'd go back and I would say, "You don't know anything. Everything you think you know, you don't know." And because there's so much more to learn and learn to integrate and to apply. And so I know after I became a lead pastor, I really began to appreciate some of the skills I was seeing in my life, and had a real passion for mentoring and coaching, and eventually, got certifications in those areas, something that you mentioned earlier, one of those formal ways of learning. I got certified as a leadership coach, and just began to develop and hone that skill, and began to see so many applications for it. And I would have had that had it not been for those new experiences. They just unlock some things for me.
Absolutely. It's an amazing thing, as we can kind of, our present reality, but begin to look on the journey to get to where we are, and any of us can do this, but we see the hand of God on our life, of how past experiences, past learning have converged and really helped shape who we are today and what we're doing now. I can remember as a staff pastor, and I was on staff at a church. My father was a senior pastor, and I served on his staff for about 10 years or so in some different capacities. But I remember going to a meeting and being presented a church health program, and just leaping at what the presenter was saying. Something inside of me just really gravitating toward that, and we, but that's my nature, those were the gifts, and those were the things that had been developing. And so what the presenter was talking about, everything within me was screaming, yes. Our church has to be a part of this. And so, that was a Thursday or Friday, whatever it was, the next day in the office on a Monday, I go into my dad's office, and I said, listen, wasn't that a phenomenal meeting we were at, and we were just talking, and I was he was affirming me, and but I was so excited about this. I said, look, Dad, we've got to do this. We've got to be a part of this. And he recognized that in me, and so we our church at that time went through this program. And that was a huge milestone marker for me, getting involved in this church development, church growth, church health system, because you talk about unlocking doors of opportunity. It unlocked for me what I'm currently doing now as a Assemblies of God U.S. missionary, helping churches as a consultant and a coach for revitalization. And so my dad, he saw that desire in me, and he saw the connection that I had with it, and our church went through it. He allowed me as an associate pastor, a staff pastor at that time, to lead the process for our church. And so he gave me a great vote of confidence in giving that responsibility to me to lead our church, through this process. And it was, man, I'm telling you, it was a great time of new learning, new knowledge. It was a phenomenal time of new experience. This was new leadership, new ministry experience for me, leading at that type of level. And I'm telling you, it's one of the greatest experiences I've had in vocational ministry. And it launched me into a new formalized education to go on and get a master's degree in church health, church leadership, church organization, all those things, which that opened some other doors. And then and now, you and I shared in the experience of leading some cohorts within our state denomination, and then now, the Lord moving us from working on one church as senior pastor to working on multiple churches as consultants and coaches as U.S. missionaries in the Assemblies of God. And excuse me for taking so long to kind of unpack this, but it's just amazing how events in our past, God can take those things. He can take our new learning. He can take our new experience. And those things converge to open up doors of opportunity that we could never think about. I remember in some of those early meetings of that process, just thinking to myself, man, I would love to, at some point in life in ministry, I would love to do this. I would love to be a consultant and a coach for churches and help them to form up and structure and shore up the church. And never having any idea that that would be possible. And then now years later, in the position and actually doing it, that pastors are trusting me to come alongside them and saying, hey, let's put some structure here. Let's do this. Let's tweak some things there. And it's humbling. It's overwhelming that new knowledge and that new experience can take us, and take us from where we are and lead us into that preferred future that God has for us. And it's not without frustration. It's not without trials. But man, I'm telling you, Bruce, and I can say this since with all sincerity today. I feel like I'm living in my promised land.
Nice.
I feel like I feel like the children of Israel that God has brought me on a journey, and he has delivered me into his promised land for my life. Now I'm still having to occupy the land. There's giants and that have to be overcome, and there's work to be done. But I feel like after what is this now, 26 going on 27 years of vocational ministry, that I've finally walked into that place that that God has created uniquely and specifically for me. And it is, man, it is a wonderful, it is a wonderful reality for sure. And that comes through, certainly it is the hand of God guiding and leading you, but the tracks that get you from Bible college to feeling like you're walking into that promised land are the tracks of new knowledge and new experience converging together to lead you to that path, to that place that God has prepared for you as a minister in whatever capacity you are ministering.
Yeah, Charles, that's fantastic. You know, I could just I not your energy is coming through when you talk about that journey, and I was just beginning to think of how, you know, we understand the railroad model, and we talk in that language, but really it is a progressive journey. You know, we're talking about those components to your leadership growth that are vital to you. Having an environment to become your best, to become the best version of yourself, to begin to live into those innate created gifts in you, those gifts of personality, those dynamic gifts of the spirit. You know, all the gifts of the spirit have unique origin in how they come into our lives. You know, some we seem to be born with, others seem to be more intuitive, others are those dynamic experiences of the Holy Spirit. But you know, bottom line, you create that environment when you give yourself to spiritual formation, when you create those opportunities for learning and take advantage of those opportunities for learning, and then you begin to apply those as you open yourself up to those new experiences. You know, we're talking everything from the sermon you preach in the pulpit, to the meeting that you lead, to maybe leading a small group. You know, all of those experiences, they have meaning, and if you have that kind of environment in your life of new experiences paired with new knowledge, you're on a journey. You're going to discover some things. Right now, you don't know what you're going to discover, but you're going to discover some things, you know, about the Lord's design in your life. And you know, just hearing you talk about that is pretty powerful. I wanted to be able to say we need to relabel the railroad model into the railroad to the promised land.
Well, I'll let you and Robert Clinton discuss that. Y'all can talk about that.
Well, Charles, this has been fantastic today. Anything
Yeah.
that you'd add before we close out today's podcast?
Just the idea that, you know, someone might, an established leader may be listening to this podcast and thinking, well, that's, hey, Charles and Bruce, that's great for you guys that you've had that environment and you've been able to follow along on this track. But that was never available for me, or I've never experienced that. I would just say, pastor or leader, you know, I'm sorry that you've never experienced that, but don't let that hinder your leadership any longer. Take this model that we're, this railroad model, and those who are under your leadership influence, you yourself put yourself on the railroad. Take the people that you're influencing, that you're leading, put them on the railroad, go together, travel together, and marvel at what God can do in you and through you and accomplish through you as an individual, through you as a team, and just give God thanks and honor and praise for what he's doing, for what he's going to do, and all that he's going to accomplish through you as a team, as you lead through this railroad model.
Powerful. And I would add that encouragement to spiritual leaders, pastors, associate pastors, staff pastors, departmental leaders in the local church. Maybe you're not engaged in full-time ministry, but one thing we care about in this podcast is seeing the full expression of Christ in the church. And that's not just a leadership expression. That happens in small groups, it happens in kids' ministry. And so that's one reason we created this podcast, was to see that happen in local church. So this is not just for people in formal ministry, but people that have a passion to become useful to the Lord in their own life. And just keep tuning in. And if you have questions or comments, we always encourage those. You can email us at the Five Gifts Podcast at iCloud.com. We're going to wrap it up today. But before we sign off, remember to like and subscribe to our podcast. We also, whether that's Facebook, YouTube, we're on all major platforms now, between Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We're on Amazon Music. I think you can also find us on Audible and YouTube Music, iHeartRadio. That's just one that we're able to get online last week. But again, we welcome your comments and questions. We also have tons of resources to help you grow spiritually as a servant leader. And you can check out that information and those opportunities below in the information section. Have a blessed week. We'll see you next week on the Five Gifts Podcast.
God bless.